praise you and honor you. We thank you. Oh, when we were lost, when we were without hope, when we were without you, when we had no chance, when we were in darkness, when our eyes were blinded, when Satan was our master, oh, you already had a plan. From the foundation, before you laid the foundation of the world, you had a plan to get us back, to buy us back, to purchase us back. And you did that through the blood of the Lamb. That blood is precious blood. That blood has redeemed us. Oh, to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Father, we don't let any rocks cry out for us tonight. You've redeemed us by the precious blood of the Lamb. How glad we are tonight. We don't let any rocks cry out. We're so glad to be saved from a devil's hell. So glad to be redeemed. So glad that the precious blood has cleansed us and washed us. Thank you, Father God, for all that you've done. You translated us out of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. Oh, thank you for our redemptive realities in Christ. Thank you for it. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Glory to your holy name. Hallelujah. We're glad tonight. We draw water with joy from the well of salvation. We are glad to be saved. Glad to be born again. Glad to be out of Satan's camp. Glad to be translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. Glad to be set free. Glad that angels follow us around. Glad that the word of God is working. Glad for joy that you've given us forevermore. We're so glad, so glad, so glad. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for saving us. Thank you. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you. Thank you for washing us. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for it, Father. We just give you the glory. As we approach your word tonight, we do so with a reverence, a holy fear, reverence. Father, your word is no ordinary book. Your word is quick. It's alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, we approach your word with reverence, knowing that your word is dripping with anointing. Your word is filled with power. Your word has the answer to every situation. Your word is all we need. Heaven and earth will pass away one day, but not your word. Your word always accomplishes the plan, the plan, the plan that you purpose for it, the plan that you send it for. And all tonight, you have a purpose. You have a plan for your word. And Father, we declare your purpose, your plan shall be accomplished in this very place, that you shall be glorified. So we just submit ourselves, Father. We just, Father, yield ourselves to you. Thank you for unction. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for feeding your people. We are all your people, the sheep of your pasture. And so we thank you for the pastors you've set over us, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. And yet we thank you, Father, that you're our ultimate pastor shepherding us. And so we thank you, Father God. Refresh and renew Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Strengthen them and bless them. Keep them safe. And then, Father, tonight, feed your people. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, don't you appreciate our brothers and sisters leading us into the very presence of God tonight? Can we show our love for all of them? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. They came prepared, anointed, and ready. You have your Bible. Turn to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. While you're going to 1 Samuel 30... How many know God is good tonight? Amen. You know, in the mornings, I go and work out at Gold's Gym. It's not Gold's Gym anymore now. Genesis Healthcare bought it out. So Genesis right up here at Kenosha and Aspen. And Monday through Friday especially, I'm in there. I like to go early, so my classes start at 5:15. And you get there at 5. Class starts at 5:15. You get done sometime around 6:30, 6:35. And then sometimes I shower there at the gym, and if I'm not showering there at the gym, if I'm going home to shower, then I'm leaving there about 6:40 or so, and I ride past the campus every morning. And you know, when it's hot like this, I've noticed early in the summer when it first started getting hot, man, I noticed men and women out who work for the ministry out here on this campus at 6:45 in the morning. they were cutting grass and edging and doing all the things they have to do. And so the first morning I saw them out there, I thought, man, they're too early. Work don't start till 8:30. They're too early. And then I thought, oh, I know immediately what they're doing. They're trying to beat the heat. They're using wisdom. Instead of doing all that, you know, in the heat of the day, they work all day anyway, they're out there getting out there before the sun gets up too hot, because that sun will sap all your strength and sap all your energy. And, you know, we're sitting in here in a nice, cool, air-conditioned building when it's been 100 degrees out there. But there are men and women who work out there in that heat every single day. Listen, if you are like a parking lot attendant, would you stand up for us? If you work here and you work outside and you've been out there today, stand up for us. We want to show our appreciation for you. You work for the ministry, you work out there, or you're a parking lot attendant, stand up. We want to show our love and appreciation. They're pointing to somebody who won't stand. Amen. Don't you appreciate them out there in the heat? We appreciate them. Praise God. But let me tell you this, that sun, it doesn't take any time at all for that sun to sap the strength, to sap the heat right out of you. You know, I love to play golf, and my buddies and I, we got out there, and recently we played, and it was 100, it was just over 100. We were playing recently, and let me tell you, you just don't have the same strength when you're playing in that kind of heat than you do when it's cooler temperatures. That sun has a way of sapping and draining the strength right out of you, and circumstances can be that same kind of way. And the heat of circumstances can drain the life and the joy right out of you if you're not careful. And how many tonight facing circumstances, be willing to admit, hey, going through some stuff, and there's a heat in circumstances, yes, amen, that can, if you're not careful, that can drain the strength right out of you. We're in 1 Samuel 30. All right, I'm reading all of these scriptures from the New American Standard Version. Then it happened, the Bible says, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. They took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and daughters had been taken captive. Verse 4. And then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Verse 4 again. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Verse 4, one more time. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more strength left in them to weep. You ever been there? Life, circumstances in life can put you in a situation where you just cry. You cry tears of sorrow. And sometimes you can cry until there's no strength left in you. You don't have the strength to cry no more. And sometimes life can bring sad circumstances to you, and the tears begin to fall. Sometimes at the loss of a loved one, people experience that. I know eulogizing my dad and having preached his service and then standing near his graveside and saying those last few precious words over his body, man, the tears just flowed like water. Sometimes it doesn't take the loss of a loved one, but broken relationships can do that. Circumstances that we all encounter, maybe on the job, or just situations that you encounter in your body with sickness and things that you go through, sometimes can bring you to a point of crying until you feel almost like there's no hope and you feel you just don't have the strength to cry no more. And sorrow and stress and, as I say, prolonged circumstances will drain the strength right out of you. And I want to say, you know, even though we all face sometimes situations like that, it's so important. Let me give you my title tonight, my title of this message tonight. His strength, don't quit. Don't quit. His strength will see you through. Look at somebody and tell them my title. Don't quit. His strength will see you through. Now say that to yourself. I'm not going to quit. Because his strength will see me through. And I don't care what you're going through tonight. I don't care what you're facing. The strength of the Lord will see you through. He will strengthen you to do that which you felt you could not do. When you feel like you cannot go on, you may feel like I cannot take another step. You may feel like I cannot go on another day. The circumstances I'm facing are so trying, I cannot get through another day. But let me tell you this, the Lord sent me here tonight to tell you, he will strengthen you right here tonight and give you the strength to carry on and carry out all of his will for your life. Amen. I said, don't quit because his strength will see you through. And one way to, when you get like David got, you know, the Bible said that David there, he strengthened himself in the Lord. There was nobody around him to encourage him at that particular time. Nobody around him to give him an uplifting word. And he strengthened himself in the Lord. And the thing that that should remind you and I to do is, listen, before we go out every day, we go out, we face every day, we need to have some quiet time with the Lord before we go out every day. Before we go out and face this world, we need to spend some time with Jesus in prayer before we go out. Before you hit the job, before you hit the work, you need to get down. Listen, spend some time with the Lord. Why? He'll strengthen you. Spend some time with the Lord. He'll strengthen you before you have to face that day. Somebody said, well, you don't know my boss. I got a challenging job situation. I got a tough boss situation. The people I work with on the job, you don't know. Well, listen, the harder your situation is, the more you need to spend time with God. I said, amen. Amen. You need to have some quiet time every day. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Quiet time with the Lord. Why? Why do I need that time? I want to remind you, get that time, set that time, make that time. Why do I need that time? Because he will strengthen you during that time. Now, you'll spend time in God's word and spend time praying and worshiping the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord before you get to the circumstances of your day. God will strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him, and they found him, and they said to him, everyone's looking for you. And he said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. Jesus knew people were looking for him. He knew they were looking for him. But he got up a great while before day and avoided all of them. He got up a great while before day. Before he had to face his day, he spent time with his Heavenly Father. And let me tell you this, if Jesus had to spend time with the Heavenly Father, you and I have to spend time with the Heavenly Father. If Jesus found it necessary to get away from people, to get away from schedules, to get away from phones, to get away from all of those pressures of life that make us so busy, you and I need to do that. I said, amen. The question is, do we have enough pushback to see a priority in our life that we say, you know, I'm gonna set some time. I'm going to make some time with God, get alone with God. Hey, he will give you the strength you need to get through everything you need to do. I said, amen. He'll give you the strength that you need. Over in the book of Judges, if you'll go there with me, over in the book of Judges, in chapter 16, the Bible talking about Samson. In Judges chapter 16, the Bible talking about Samson. Jesus said, just before he was arrested in the garden, and he was, you remember that story where he was telling the disciples to pray, and he was saying, pray so that you don't enter into temptation, and he was asking them to pray an hour. He knew that a tremendous time of temptation was coming, and they had said to him, and, you know, very believably, pardon me, they had said to him, you know, we're gonna fight with you. We're willing to die with you. We're willing to go all the way to the end with you. And I think they meant that when they said that. And Peter was the most boisterous of them all, and yet Jesus gave a prophetic prediction that came true, you know, about, you know, he said the cock wouldn't crow before Peter had denied him three times. And but while they were in that garden, Jesus said something to him. He said this, he said, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And we live in this realm, we live in this earth realm where we are bound, if you will, tied to this flesh. And if you're not careful, our flesh can weigh down our spirit. Our flesh can drag, can hold back, our flesh can hinder our spirit. So that in fact, in many circumstances, you'll identify with this. Listen, you can know the right thing to do and not always feel you have the strength to do that. Many times in the Christian life, our question is not what is the right thing to do. Most time we know the right thing to do. The question really is, do we have the strength to do what we know is the right thing to do? And Jesus knew in that garden, they didn't have the strength to do what they knew was the right thing to do. The right thing was to stand with him. The right thing was to not be in the flesh on that night. The right thing was to be walking in the spirit that night. And he was trying to get him there. He said, pray. Why? Pray so you don't enter into temptation. Pray so you're not walking by the flesh. Pray so you're not walking by your feelings. Pray so that you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that happened after Judas approached him in that garden, Judas kissed him, and Peter took out a sword and cut off Malchus's ear. You remember that? And Peter said, we're going to throw down. It's time to throw down now. And Jesus said, put that thing away. You live by that, you're going to die by that. He told him, put that sword away. Peter was fighting, all right? He was just fighting in the flesh. And so often when it comes to trials and circumstances, if you're not careful, you find yourself fighting over in the flesh. Somebody did something, so you're going to tell them how it's going to be. You going to show them, oh no, you did. I'm going to show you. What's that, flesh? So often we'll say, no, Lord, come down off the throne. Come down, no, just come down for a minute. No, just give me the throne. Give me the throne. No, let me get up there. I'm going to show them how I'm going. No. It never works out right when we allow our flesh man to be in charge. When we make our spirit man submit to our flesh man, it never works out right. Our spirit man is the one who needs to be in control. Jesus told him the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Judges 16, verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up at once, for he has told me all that is in his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and bought the money in their hands, and she made him sleep, talking about Samson, she made him sleep on her knees and called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. Verse 20, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know the Lord had departed from him. And then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. And they brought him down to Gaza, bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow after it had been shaved off. This is a sad epitaph. This is a sad story. You read this story and you think, man, how the mighty had fallen. There was nobody like Samson. You remember back in Judges chapter 3 when the Bible describes things about him and about his birth and his strength and his power. He was a Nazarite, and as his hair grew, the anointing grew in him. And oh man, he was a mighty man. You know, the Bible tells us back there in Judges 15 that around verse 13, the Bible tells us that Samson, he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Think of the strength that man had to have. 1,000 men came to fight him. He killed all 1,000 of them with the jawbone of a donkey. But the Bible says it was not his strength that he was fighting in. That ability to kill 1,000 men, that strength came from the Lord. In fact, it was the Lord who gave him that strength. It was the Lord who strengthened him like that. And then we read how it all goes south, and how sad it is. And so verse 23 of 16, now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, talking about Dagon. For they said, our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us. And it so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, call for Samson that he may amuse us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the boy who was holding
his hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. Pause here for just a second. You know, it's interesting that, first of all, the thing that's so sad is that Samson felt like he didn't know that the Lord had departed. Now, let me say this. We live in the New Testament. We have a covenant established upon better promises. Aren't you glad about that? And so as a believer, there's no time when the Lord's going to depart from you and I. I said, aren't you glad about that? I said, God's not departing from any of us. You say, well, I don't feel like the Lord's there. Don't matter what you feel, God is still there. You say, well, I feel lonely. He said, "I will." In Hebrews 13, I will never, ever, 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 ever leave you or forsake you. I said, it don't matter how you feel. God will not leave you. You invited him in. He'll keep his promise to stay. And so don't be thinking, oh, well, see, that's what happened to me. The Lord left Samson and the Lord. No, the Lord hadn't left you. He said, he's right there. And if you'll stop depending on your feelings, amen, and trust his word, you'll see that God is right there with you. You're not alone. God is there with you. You say, well, I'm at home alone. You ain't at home alone. He's right there with you. When you walked in the door, he walked in the door with you. You say, well, when I got to work, I felt so alone. He walked right up in the job with you. You say, well, I was riding in the car. I felt alone. He got in the car right beside you. So don't be trying to use that raggedy excuse. God is with you. If you've received him, he's with you. And thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. But Samson, he allowed sin and compromise to get in his way. And he compromised so much. And then he didn't even realize when the strength of God had left him. And he jumped up, but he was in the flesh. Other times they had bound him. They had bound him with the strongest ropes that they could get. And he'd break the ropes. The Bible said he broke the ropes like flax, like wax, you know. It was nothing to him. But this time they bound him and he couldn't get free. He had compromised and compromised and compromised. And one of the things we need to remember from his story is that, listen, don't compromise good morals, because how we live really does matter. Amen. I don't care what they told you. You better read your Bible. Amen. How we live matters. And we start compromising and the devil tries to, see, and the devil's great trick, his great trick, he don't have any new playbook. He has the same old tricks in his playbook. But one of the main tricks he tries to work on us all the time, if he can't get you not to do anything, not to serve God, he'll try to get us to compromise. He'll tell you, compromise. It's all right. You can see that. Go ahead and compromise it. You can't see it. You better not see everything come before your eyes that wants to come before your eyes. You can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, we better put a guard over our eyes. We better put a guard. The Bible says we better guard our heart, guard our eyes, guard our ears. Amen. Garbage in, garbage out. And the enemy tried to, oh, that's okay, that's okay. Go on over there, go on, look at that, go on, do it. No, you better watch out. You better watch yourself. You better watch your spirit. You better watch what you let in. I'm doing a better job preaching this than y'all are saying amen. I ain't going to my next point. I'm staying right here until I get a big amen. If I don't get no amen, we'll just preach right on this. I ain't got to preach y'all nothing else. I'll stay right here. How we live matters. And we have to guard ourselves as believers. And this world tries to get us to compromise. The world will tell us, well, the culture, see, the culture, don't care what the culture, what does the Bible say? That's right. Amen. Don't tell me about some culture, I'm going to tell you about the Bible. The Bible transcends culture. I wish I had an amen here. And he compromised till his strength was gone. And if we as believers think that compromising and sin will not compromise our strength, the vitality that we have as believers, we are just fooling ourselves. We're just deceiving ourselves. I said, I'm doing a better job teaching that. Unconfessed sin will drain the spiritual strength right out of us. Which is why God made it so easy. Which is why the efficacy of his blood is so powerful. Which is why he really is the propitiation for our sins. His sacrifice completely satisfied God's high demands. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness and to cleanse us. Over in Psalm 32, David said this, Verse 2, how blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. I like that. He said the heat, it was like the heat of summer draining my energy, draining my spiritual energy. David said, when I refused to acknowledge and confess my sin, it was like being out in the sun, being sapped from your strength. We need his strength tonight. 1 Peter 4:11 says this. 1 Peter 4:11. It says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Listen to this now. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. I said, God supplies strength for everything you and I have to do. Whatever you have to do on your job, do you know God has strength for you? Now, you can do it in the flesh. There's two ways to do it. You can do it in the flesh, or you can do it in the strength that God provides. It's really our choice. We get to decide. You can do it. You can work in the flesh all day long and just be sapped and just be drained and just have an ugly attitude. And you can tell. You can tell when somebody's doing whatever they're doing. You can tell when they're doing it in the strength which God supplies. And you can tell when they're doing it in the flesh. Because when folk do it in the flesh, they need an attitude adjustment. When folk do it in the flesh, it's everybody else causing the problem. The person in front of you in traffic, that's causing the problem. The person on the job is causing the problem. The boss man is causing the problem. A spouse is causing. No, listen, if you are in the spirit, people aren't your problem. When you do things with the strength that God supplies, you'll say, oh, you know, they didn't know any better. They ain't mean that. Lord bless them. Everything ain't going to be all right. When you do things with the strength that God supplies, whether you're ushering or working in the parking lot or working on your job or cutting your grass, if you'll do it with the strength that God supplies, you'll have a good attitude. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. He said, if you're serving, do it with the strength which God supplies. Let me tell you this real quick. Strength, the strength of God comes from at least three different sources. Just real quick here. Listen, one source of God's strength is his people. Pardon me. One source of his strength is his people. Just write this down. We don't have time to go there, but Deuteronomy 3:27 and really 28, Deuteronomy 3:28 say, God told Moses, he said, listen, he took him up to Mount Pisgah and he said, you're not going to go into the promised land. He said, but Joshua's going to go in. He said, but what I want you to do is I want you to go back and strengthen Joshua. Before I call him, before you ever get to Joshua chapter 1, God told Moses, Deuteronomy, go strengthen him. People are an awesome source. Other believers are an awesome source of the strength of God. When we as believers get this right, oh man, how good it is to be in the presence of another brother or sister. You can be hurting, but the right person come alongside you. And you can just feel the strength of the Lord. And that strength is just like, it's contagious. Just what's on them will get on you. You can be going through troubled times and be around the right believer. And that just what they have, that compassion and strength just come on you. It's a beautiful thing. But a lot of times we don't get that. Sometimes we get Job's comforters. You remember Job's comforters? They say, well, brother, you ain't going to make it. That's your fault. You might as well quit. Go on, curse God and die. It ain't going to work out. Better give up, try something else. And sometimes we get Job's comforters. But when you get the right one, when you get the right believer, when the right one comes, Luke 22:32, Jesus told Peter, go strengthen your brothers. 2 Corinthians 7:5, Paul said, I was comforted and strengthened by the coming of Titus. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul said that I'm sending Timothy to you to strengthen you and encourage you in your faith. In fact, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one brother sharpen another. One sister sharpen another. You could substitute strength there. His people. His promise, secondly, listen, his promise is a wonderful source. His promise is a wonderful source of his strength. Zechariah 10:12, I will strengthen them in the Lord and his name, and in his name they will walk, declares the Lord. Psalm 119:27, make me understand the way of your precepts. I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my right hand. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Isaiah 40:27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. The justice due me escapes the notice of my God. 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary and tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. And they will walk and not become weary. Finally, his presence. His presence is an awesome source of his strength. We know the Lord's in us, but when you spend time in his presence will also come upon us. 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul wrote this, at my first defense, no one supported me. All deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished. I like that. Paul said, nobody stood with me the first time I had to stand before Caesar's tribunal. He said, but the Lord was there. And not only did the Lord stand with me, the Lord strengthened me. And I said, the Lord is here. He is in you if you're a believer. And not only will the Lord stand with you, you said, I don't feel like I have anybody who will stand with me. The Lord is standing with you. And he'll strengthen you. I wish I had a bigger amen. Finally, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak from want. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Verse 13, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we could have our prayer workers come on up at this time. You need the strength of God. Let me tell you this. In his presence is fullness of joy. And you may be mourning tonight, but he'll turn your mourning into dancing if you stay in his presence. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You need his strength tonight. Make some time. Push back in your schedule. Spend some time with the Lord. Enter into his presence. Hang around with the right people. Get into his word. Absorb the power from his word and get into his presence. You'll find his strength. Father, we've shared with your people tonight and know that many here need your help, need your strength. And we thank you for ministering to your people, helping them, giving them your strength, restoring joy. In Jesus' name, amen. During one of the toughest trials in my life, in my own life during these past couple of years here, one day I was quoting Isaiah 40:27-31, that passage we read tonight, and I was telling the Lord I didn't feel his strength, but I needed his strength. And I read that passage about 10 times, and I told the Lord, I need your strength, but I need your strength, but I don't feel it. I'm not living by feelings, but I need your strength. And every time I read it, I felt like I ought to read it again. And after I read it about 10 times, I felt this in my spirit. Bill, if you will continue to renew your mind, I will continue to renew your strength. See, I was making a mistake. I was trying to get my strength renewed without renewing my mind. But I got after it fast and furious, getting my mind renewed. And when I woke up that next morning, I jumped out of bed, fell down on my knees, threw my hands in the air, and said, I can run over a troop and leap over a wall. I feel your strength. Whatever it is you need God's strength to do, if you'll keep your mind renewed, he'll renew your strength. Are we ready? Okay. Now listen, if you need prayer for anything tonight, you want the strength of the Lord, come on up here. You know by now, one of these ladies, if you're a lady, one of these guys, if you're a guy, they'll come up here and help you. Stand on your feet. Thank you for being such an attentive audience. We'll see you right back here Sunday morning, 9 a.m. School of Bible, 10 a.m. Sunday morning worship. Did we forget anything else? Are we good? Okay. All right. We love you. We will see you next time. God bless you. Don't quit. He will strengthen you. He will give you all the strength you need and see you through.